Well, my friend, it is time to consider your values and what is truly important to you, what makes you feel stable in this world so that you can find new solutions to old problems. That is the vibe largely of the next 7 years, and I'm going to tell you why. It's a little extra heightened right now because we are in sidereal Taurus season. I'll explain more about that in a moment, what that means, what I mean by that. And at the same time, on June 1st, 2024, Uranus is moving to Taurus. Uranus spends approximately 7 years in a sign, which means it takes 84 years to move entirely through the zodiac, which means it's been 84 years since, actually, 84 minus 7. It's been 84 years since the last time Uranus moved into Taurus. And if you do the math, what does that put that time around? It was around the end of, or actually when it moved into Taurus, was around really the beginning of the United States involvement in World War II. And so as always with these longer transits, I'm going to tell you all about the history, global events the last time this transit happened. I'm going to tell you about the astrological archetypes that factor into our understanding of what this pattern might bring up. Because that's what astrology is, in my opinion, is it's a, we're looking for patterns. We're not looking for confirmation bias. Although as humans, we all have confirmation bias. We're looking for patterns and trying to extrapolate from those patterns from, hey, when we've seen this before, what was it correlated with? And so that's what we're going to be looking at. I'm going to tell you historical events of the last time, which I'm sure now that I say the last time Uranus was in Taurus was 1940 through about 1948. You can think of what was happening globally then. It was a big deal in the world that those years. So let's talk about it. First, I'd like to extend you a warm welcome to the Yogi Scopes podcast. I'm your host, Rosemary Holbrook. I am a Vedic sidereal astrologer, soon to be yoga therapist. So I'm this close to being done with my practicum hours. I've been working on this CIAYT yoga therapy certification for quite some time now. I'm in the final stretch of seeing clients and turning in the documentation to polish off the certification. And what that means for you is I also am a huge lover of astrology, have been my whole life. And in my very first yoga teacher training back in 2017 was the first time I heard of Vedic astrology. I didn't know before then that there was even more than one kind of astrology. I thought astrology was just astrology. I had a horoscope app on my very first ever smartphone that I got. It was like probably the first app I downloaded. I was always reading horoscopes in the newspaper and Cosmo, whatever, before that. And so Vedic astrology comes from the same place as yoga philosophy. It comes from the Vedas, the same place that yoga philosophy originated, the same place that Ayurveda originated. Vedic astrology has been around that long, and it uses the sidereal zodiac, which is more astronomically accurate. So with that yoga therapy background, I take my love of astrology and pair it, because Vedic astrology goes so well with yoga philosophy, whereas I find there's a lot of yoga teachers in the US that are getting into pairing astrology with yoga, but they use Western astrology. And that was always kind of frustrating to me when I was trying to learn this at first, and I couldn't really find any like super great resources on embodying the astrology, but using Vedic astrology, which to me just makes more sense because it comes from the same place as yoga. So there's a lot of overlap. And like the Sanskrit words and concepts and myths and things. And then also it just feels better to me that the sidereal zodiac is more accurate. So I take my understanding of Vedic astrology and pair that with all this yoga therapy work to make it something that you can embody in your life. And that's a yogi scope. And so I'll tell you, this is going to be a long episode. I can go ahead and tell you, because when we're talking about stuff that takes 7 years to play out, there's just a lot to say, right? Because it's going to be more nuanced and more impactful than something that takes like, 3 days or 3 weeks to play out, which is a lot of things. Like the full moon, it's in the full phase for about 3 days. When we're talking about Mercury retrograde, that's like 3 weeks, right? And so those things seem really on the surface impactful because they are more impactful in the short term, but things like these 7-year long transits are going to be the undercurrent that impacts the direction of your life. So it is more impactful, even if it's not on the surface, doesn't seem that way. So it takes a while to explain. So with that, let's talk about what I mean by Taurus season. So as you may know, if you're paying attention to astrology, like out there on the internet, they're like, it's already Gemini season, I guess, maybe, or almost there, because that's what it's almost a whole sign off. So when I'm like, hey, we're just now getting into Taurus season, which actually in Western astrology, they would call something Taurus season when the sun moves there. And in Vedic astrology, we don't regard the sun as like the most important planet in the way that Western astrology does. Vedic astrology prefers the moon it's a lunar based system. You may have heard that said. So we pay more attention to what the moon is doing. The sun is just one of the, you know, 7 or 9 planets, depending on how you want to conceptualize that. It's just one of them. It's not the most important one. And so the sun moves to sidereal Taurus, or already moved there, on Tuesday, May 14th. And so, is it the 20th? I think it's around the 20th that the sun moves under tropical zodiac. So we're nearing Gemini season, right? But if you consider what's really happening in your life, does that feel true? Is just what I want to ask you to consider over time, and just let that question kind of bubble up in your awareness as you compare the two systems. What feels more true for your life? Does the Taurus energy feel heightened right now, or does it feel like we're starting to move to Gemini energy? And so that might not make much sense to you if you're newer to astrology, but if you're not, just consider it, which I imagine many of you listening are listening because you're sold on Vedic astrology, but there might be one or two of you that are like brand new to this. So that's why I say it. And so that, I guess, under the tropical system would mark Taurus season, the sun moving there. But in the Vedic system, I consider it more like we always have a stellium. They call it like 3 or more planets. And those 3 planets are the sun, Venus, and Mercury. And they pretty much track each other. The sun is really predictable and moves on or around the same-ish day every year because the sun doesn't go retrograde. Venus and Mercury both go retrograde, so they'll have some flux with them about when they move, but the energy really gets heightened when all 3 of those planets, and then if there's other planets involved, move to a sign, the energy of that sign gets heightened in a big way, and that's what I would consider that sign's season. And so on May 1st, we had Jupiter move to Taurus. Big deal. Big deal. Did a whole like almost hour long episode about it because Jupiter will be there for a year. And so Uranus moving there on June 1st is kind of even a bigger deal because it will be there for 7 years. But then also, just like an aside, Vedic astrology doesn't always consider what we could call like the modern planets, the outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. But I do. And if you don't want to consider them, I don't know how you would have made it 9 minutes into this episode. It's your choice whether you want to consider them or not, right? So Jupiter moved to Taurus May 1st. We'll be there for an entire year. That's the first thing heightening this Taurus energy. And then on Tuesday, May 14th, so earlier this week as I'm recording this, the sun moved to Taurus. And then tomorrow, as I'm recording this, it's Friday, May 17th right now as I'm recording this. Tomorrow, Venus will move to Taurus. So that's already a stellium in Taurus. We have Jupiter, sun, and Venus there. And then on Friday, May 31st, Mercury moves to Taurus. And then on Sunday, June 1st, is when Uranus moves to Taurus. So these faster moving planets of the sun, Venus, and Mercury, they'll move on in about a month, right? But we're kind of entering this big Taurus time with a bang because of Jupiter and Uranus both moving to Taurus around Taurus season, which is marked by the sun, Venus, and Mercury moving there. So I hope that makes sense. And so maybe I lost you with all that talking about planets and things. I hope not, but what is Taurus season? Like, what does that vibe feel like? Let's consider the archetype of Taurus, the sign of Taurus. How do we understand astrologically what Taurus season even means, what that vibe is like? So Taurus is an earth sign. It's ruled by Venus. And so the symbol for Taurus is a bull, as you may know. And so bulls are like really, really strong. Okay. So consider that in your awareness, first of all. This earthy energy is, it's very grounded, very stable. There is strength in stability. That's actually what we were exploring this week in our Yogi Scopes flow practice on Wednesday, which is now over. You can't get the recording unless you want to ask me for it. I did post the Moon Day practice on YouTube called, I think I titled it like Abundance Ritual or something, Yoga for Taurus Season. It's like a 30-minute practice. So the idea is connecting to this strength in stability, like the bull, like the earth energy, extremely stable, right? Extremely strong. Can the shadow side of that is can be stubborn or unmovable or stagnant, right? And then with Venus being there, because there's other earth signs, right? But they're not necessarily ruled by Venus, so they would have a different vibe. Taurus being ruled by Venus brings this connection to maybe being really like romantic about this connection with the earth. And I don't know, I really feel that right now with everything coming into bloom. Everything's green after a really long winter. And I'm just like, oh, this is beautiful. You know what I mean? Like every time I step outside, I'm just like, wow, it's like really nice out here. And that's like that Venus and earth energy, right? That's just like, I'm feeling like an affection towards the earth personally. And so that's Taurus vibe. And then also Venus has connections to finances, to wealth, to values. So that's another big vibe of Taurus energy is like, what are your values? How are your finances doing? What do you value in terms of possessions, in terms of consumption? So consumption of goods, consumption of food, right? So those are all Taurus vibes. And we'll explore that throughout this episode. That's the Taurus, what it's bringing to the table here. And then Uranus is like almost the complete opposite of Taurus in terms of vibe. So Taurus is like this stable, practical, strong, grounded energy. Uranus is like, I need change. I need revolution. I need disruption. I need freedom, right? And so I will assert to you, this is something that I love to explore in yoga practice all the time. And so it comes up in regards to a lot of things. It comes up in regards to Saturn and, because Saturn is like value, Saturn brings on that air energy, and what you need to ground that, right? The air energy is to ground into stability. And so this whole idea that stability and freedom are like opposite ends of the spectrum, or that they're incompatible maybe, or mutually exclusive, I think that is an expression of like a Vata imbalance. To somebody who's just like, I just need to move all the time. Like, I want freedom. I don't want to be tied down. I would urge you to explore, and this is something we explore in yoga practice sometimes. If you come to the Yogi Scopes flow, I factor it in a lot, because I am very of the belief that stability begets freedom. That you might think it's freedom to not have any like obligations or responsibilities, but sometimes those obligations and responsibilities are what gives you the freedom to, let's say, travel. Like, maybe you don't have anything tying you down. For example, you don't have a house, like a, you know, a mortgage or like rent to pay at a fixed place, and you don't have like animals to tend to and make sure they get taken care of if you leave, right? So that sounds like it would give you more freedom to travel. But then with that, maybe you don't have stable employment, right? And so maybe you don't have necessarily the money to just book travel wherever you want. And so I'm not saying this is necessarily the case, but I hope you can see what I mean with, like, I don't know. I've been homeless before, friends. And so I'm not trying to, like, pass judgment or, like, say that there's a right way to live, but I do know that now that I have, like, a house and stable employment, I can choose to travel when and where I want. And so that's within the bounds of constraints. But when I didn't have those things, I could travel sometimes, but it wasn't usually up to me. It wasn't usually like I could just choose when and where, right? So that's kind of the dichotomy I'm trying to paint between Uranus vibes and Taurus vibes. So Taurus wants stability, practicality, getting your finances in order. And Uranus is like, I need excitement. I need change. I need revolution, right? And so when you combine those two, the vibe you get is perhaps sudden changes, maybe sudden, maybe revolutions in regards to finances, resources, personal values, right? So what's coming up likely with Uranus and Taurus and will be, so this is a 7-year-long thing, revising tradition, right? Especially in areas of finance, agriculture, and environment. So this is something I mentioned on the Jupiter and Taurus episode, is that, so Taurus, because being an earth sign, it has connections to the environment as well. And I mentioned on the Jupiter and Taurus episode that past times we've seen Jupiter and Taurus brought some of the like biggest like weather thing, you know, like I want to say Hurricane Sandy was during a Jupiter and Taurus time. I talked about it on the Jupiter and Taurus episode, but there was like a big tsunami. There's just like these big, big things of Jupiter and Taurus. And so like a week out, so I, right after I recorded that episode, we had these storms where I live, where we had softball size hail. Like, can you imagine how big? Softballs are bigger than baseballs. And it was like the biggest hail we've ever had on record where I live, like a week after Jupiter moved to Taurus. And so I think we'll continue to see more of that. And what that softball size hail brought was like some farms around here. I live in a very rural agricultural area. One farm that I actually had considered getting a CSA, like a, the, I think it stands for crop share agreement, where it's basically like a subscription and you get vegetables every week during the growing season or whatever. I was going to get one, but I didn't because children, too many competing priorities. I just never signed up. And anyway, their entire crop got devastated from the hail, which is really sad. But unfortunately, that is a vibe of not only Jupiter and Taurus, but Uranus and Taurus is going to be bringing that same vibe too. And so if we look back historically at last times Uranus was in Taurus, what did we have going on in the agricultural realm? So the vibe of Uranus and Taurus the last time was victory gardens. Everybody was kind of doing their own part, this personal revolution in terms of agricultural systems. Because of the war, the World War II, there was destruction to global agricultural systems, which brought about revolution to the agricultural systems. And so I have more to say about that in just a moment. I looked up some historical data around the changes in the food system and kind of how it played out when these shifts were happening and how it aligned with the astrology. So I've got that in my notes. I'll cover it in just a second. But a couple more things I want to say about the more short term, I think, is because, you know, so Jupiter in Taurus is short term in compared to this Uranus in Taurus, because Jupiter is in Taurus for a year. Uranus is there for 7. But then we also have the Sun, Venus, and Mercury moving there shortly before in the scheme of things, right? It's like, because the Sun moves there like 2 weeks before Uranus does. Mercury moves there a day before Uranus does. So in the scheme of 7 years, 2 weeks isn't a very long time either. But we have these faster moving planets moving there around the same time that Uranus is, which just brings this big vibe towards, can you heighten the Taurus energy in your life? And so I'll say more about what I mean by that in just a second. Can you heighten the Taurus energy in your life in such a way that makes you feel really grounded and really ready for any perhaps revolution or sudden changes brought on by Uranus and Taurus for the next 7 years? And so FYI, this is all happening during Taurus season. Uranus is moving there, but we'll have, you know, six more Taurus seasons while Uranus is in Taurus, because the Sun, Venus, and Mercury will move to Taurus predictably around the same time every year, right? So those might be kind of your checkpoints during this time where you keep coming back to, like, how am I aligning with my values and things? So I've got journal prompts to help you. So you'll keep coming back to that over the course of the 7 year transit. But right now, so Jupiter is adding this vibe of focusing on material, financial, and sensual growth, right? Can you connect to, can you really revel in your senses? Can you grow financially? Can you be more aligned with your values during this whole year that Jupiter is in Taurus? And then meanwhile, also, on May 2nd, I didn't mention this before, there's also other energies heightening the revolution or the explosiveness like Uranus is right now. So we have all this Taurus energy, Jupiter, Sun, Mercury, Venus, heightening the Taurus energy. But then on May 2nd, Pluto went retrograde in Capricorn. And Capricorn, in a big way, also is very concerned. Capricorn's one of the other Earth signs, but it's ruled by Saturn. So it's also very concerned with how are we forming stability in our lives? How are we conceptualizing that? How are we being diligent and working hard? And what are our structures? Discipline is very Capricorn. So whereas Taurus is like stability in terms of finances and values, Capricorn is stability in terms of discipline, if that makes sense. And so Pluto just went retrograde there the day after Jupiter moved to Taurus, which is, and so Pluto is another planet of like revolution. Like that's the Pluto vibe. Pluto is a little bit more explosive. It's a little bit more like, it's transformation is like a good word for Pluto. And so Pluto retrograde in Capricorn, this is, you know, not the first time this has happened. Pluto moved to Capricorn a few years ago and does go retrograde every year. So same thing with Uranus, it'll go retrograde every year. And so during those retrograde times is when you'll consider the power structures in your life. And is there any internal transformation that needs to happen to become more aligned with the power structures in your life? If that makes sense. Hopefully that wasn't too like heady or cerebral, right? And then the other sort of deep transformation vibe going on right now is there will be a full moon in Scorpio. And so Scorpio's on the axis with Taurus, if that makes sense. So I covered that yesterday, the full moon in Scorpio. So it's kind of like doing that. Scorpio is very like internal transformation, what emotions are coming up for you, that kind of thing. That is on an axis with Taurus, meaning those things are like inseparable. And that's kind of what I was getting at with the stability and freedom thing of what we have going on with Capricorn and Saturn, what we have going on with Uranus in Taurus is Taurus is asking you for stability, Uranus is asking you for freedom. So this dichotomy shows up in a lot of ways. And the full moon in Scorpio is another one bringing that up. So right now is just a really prime time to consider those things and consider on the trajectory of the next 7 years, like how do you want to set yourself up for success in terms of cultivating stability in your life that allows for more freedom, if that makes sense. And then additionally, so with that Pluto going retrograde, we're headed into retrograde season. That Pluto's usually the first. And then towards the summer, I mean, I guess you could say Mercury's the first because it went retrograde in April. But then we'll have Saturn retrograde in June. We'll have Uranus will go retrograde later. I'll tell you more about it. We're heading into retrograde season, basically. The summertime is retrograde season. And so I'll cover more about that as we get closer, but just know retrograde season is also time to examine the structures in your life and revise or redo or revolutionize, right? Like Uranus, revolutionize things that aren't working. And so that energy is just getting heightened in a lot of ways right now. Revolution, personal revolution, inner transformation. Hopefully I made that clear with all those different ways that's being heightened right now. And so now let's zoom back out and talk about the last time Uranus was in Taurus. And so that was around May 30th of 1940 through April 18th of 1948. And so I say April 18th because it's a similar situation to what's happening right now. Uranus did move to Taurus in 1947 and then retrograded back to Aries, and then made its final move to Taurus in 1948. And so that's, we're having a similar thing, actually. Uranus will retrograde back to Aries later this year, and it'll be around the same time that Mars is going retrograde in Cancer. So Aries ruler will be going retrograde in its sign of debilitation. So that's just something I've been trying to put on your radar in various ways towards the end of the year, like December into 2025. That is a big time for, like, emotions are going to be heightened. People might feel like fighting over, like, emotional fighting, kind of like lashing out emotionally during that time. And there'll be just a little bit of last karma to work out in regards to Uranus and Aries before we finally move on to Uranus fully being in Taurus next year. But it is starting its move into Taurus on June 1st, if that makes sense. And so we had a similar thing happen last time where it moved into Taurus, retrograded back to Aries, then made its final move into Taurus. And so I guess its final move into Taurus will be next year, but you get the idea, right? Like, things are starting now. And so during that time, 1940 to 1948, Victory Gardens. People were eating more vegetables. They were growing themselves. There was less meat and dairy due to the war. And so I found this quote from a news article, said the war caused a revolution in productivity on the farm and finally brought an end to the horse-drawn era of farming. And so it also brought a lot of destruction, though. And so I'll tell you something. I accidentally was researching the wrong dates. I was actually researching the Uranus and Gemini dates, but it feels relevant. I figured I'd go ahead and bring it up. So Uranus was in Gemini from 1948 when it moved on from Taurus to like 1955-ish. And so during that time, I found these, like, I guess in 1945, there was this organization that formed. It's FAO.org. Is the I don't know what, Food Agriculture Organization or something. I don't know. But so you go to foodagricultureorganization.org. It formed in 1945 because there was a need, because it was like, there's all this destruction from the war. We need to figure something out. And so I found a report from 1948 and a report from 1950. I guess they did yearly reports the whole time. And so the one in 1948, it sounded a lot like what we're experiencing with COVID, right? They were like, we thought this food crisis was going to be over soon, but it's not. And so now we're like taking concrete steps to make a plan. I'll read you the quote from the 1948. It was called the State of Food and Agriculture Report. It said, and this is the opening a couple sentences. It is now 3 years since the termination of hostilities and 3 years in October since the establishment of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United States. That's FAO.org. These have been years of worldwide shortages, especially of agricultural and forestry products on a scale as unparalleled as it was unforeseen. From 1945 until mid-1947, the crisis was generally expected to be over within a few months or after the next harvest. It was called a short-term crisis. Only during the past 12 months have governments come to regard it as something more persistent. And so that's what was happening at the... So, and this is what I always tell folks. I'm like, when we have these longer-term transits, it's like the problem keeps heightening itself until you do something about it. And at the very end of the transit, if you haven't done anything about it, it's going to slap you in the face. And that's what this sounds like, is there were shortages, there was crisis, they kept thinking it was going to go away at the end of the next harvest. And then at the very end, when Uranus was doing this dance into Gemini and back into Taurus via retrograde, they were like, oh my God, this is really bad. We really need to take concrete steps to do something about it. And that's what was happening in agriculture and food towards the end of this Uranus and Taurus time. So that's why I'm like, I hate to be like doom and gloom, but with the Jupiter and Taurus, it's like expanding environmental, like weather events, right? Like I expect during the next year, we will see more like the biggest hail we've ever had on record kind of news headlines, right? And then so environmental disasters, I guess is what I'm saying, is a very Jupiter in Taurus thing. And that's starting at the beginning of this Uranus in Taurus thing. There were big changes to the agriculture and food systems made due to crisis. Like we don't really, like humans in general are pretty reactive. Like we don't really change our ways of being unless we have to. Like as societies, we're often not as proactive as we are reactive, if that makes sense. So that's kind of the vibe, is like some shit will have to happen to make us get our butts into gear and be more proactive. And so we can do that on an individual level. We can be more proactive, but doing that on a large scale level is harder. And so the pattern we've seen before with Uranus and Taurus is things happening in the agricultural and food realm to require us to get more proactive around that, if that makes sense. So who knows what it'll be, but that's the vibe. And so then after it, though, the good news, because I did spend a good amount of time researching the wrong dates because I'm silly, whatever, the Uranus and Gemini time was what they called the Green Revolution. And so right now we're kind of setting the stage maybe for the next green revolution, if that makes sense, out of necessity. And the necessity is going to precipitate now. So hopefully that makes sense. And FYI also, for the folks in the Vedic Astrology Club that get my weekly sign by signs, I will share these documents. I have links to the documents I was talking about that quote was from. So I always share that like in the sign by signs. I'll share my notes that I use to prepare for the podcast episode just to like jog your memory when you want to revisit it. So the overall revolutions of Uranus and Taurus is one, financial revolution. So Taurus governs finances and Uranus wants to shake things up. So it's going to shake up traditional finance systems. So there might be changes in how money is earned, spent, or valued. And so we know we're entering this time with like out of control inflation, right? And so that's kind of precipitating the necessity to change, right? And so we'll see those change coming to pass during this time, maybe especially while Jupiter is also there during this year between May 2024 and May 2025. And so then number two, overall energies of Uranus and Taurus, technological advancements in agriculture and food production. Like I was just talking about, Uranus is going to bring breakthroughs in the areas of agriculture and food production. So there might be more sustainable farming practices, out of necessity, but there also might be more things like GMOs and lab-grown meat, technologies that revolutionize the food industry. So what we saw before was during the agricultural revolution that was happening the last time was this move towards like cereals and grain. And we also saw towards the end of that Uranus and Taurus time, I found this quote about the Green Revolution was, it created a culture that prioritized these things. Development of high-yielding varieties of cereal grains, expansion of irrigation infrastructure, modernization of management techniques, and distribution of hybridized seeds, synthetic fertilizers, and pesticides. All of that was in response to the devastation of war. Something wasn't working, so they made drastic changes on a broad scale. And so I'm wondering, what is it going to be this time? Because we know there are ways that our food systems aren't working. And so it comes out of like necessity. We're like, how can we, the hybridized seeds and pesticides and fertilizers and expanding infrastructure was because of the destruction of war. They were like, how do we prevent this from happening again? How do we prevent this large scale like famine because our systems were so, our systems had to be transformed, right, after the war. And so that's the vibe, right? And then number three is changes in property ownership and real estate. So Taurus also rules over land and property. And so Uranus brings disruption, right? So there might be new forms of property ownership, maybe co-housing, communal living. We're already seeing that. Like, I live in a pretty progressive area near Asheville, North Carolina. We're already seeing some of that. Like, there's an organization here called Beloved Asheville, and they are doing the most that I've seen to house the unhoused. And so they're building this village, the Beloved Village, I think they call it. And it's like a bunch of tiny houses that they're building on. It's really cool. You should look into it. B-E-L-O-V-E-D, like Beloved Asheville. Look at their village they're making. It's revolutionary. And so maybe we'll see that on a more broad scale during this time. Out of necessity, which is sad that we need that, right? But that's the vibe. And so then also changes in real estate. The first thing I've noticed, and I'm not in real estate or anything, but y'all remember that report that came out a few months ago that was like changes in the commission structure. I'm not going to do justice to explaining it because I don't really understand it. But what I do know about it is that it's supposed to go into effect in June, and Uranus moves to Taurus in June. And so that's what I think we'll just continue to see more of that. We'll see that play out, the vibe of what that actually means in practice, the changes in commission structure. And yeah, so real estate, changes in real estate, changes in structure around real estate, which includes how real estate agents get paid. And then another overall energy, number four, is shifts in values and materialism. So Taurus represents our values and what stability and security and material comfort mean to us and how they play out in our regular life. So Uranus wants to challenge things, right? Wants to bring revolution. So we may reevaluate what's truly important in life, leading to changes in consumer behavior to move towards more sustainable and ethical consumption. And that's usually, like I said, we're, as a species in society, we're pretty reactive. Society is reactive. People individually might be proactive, but society is reactive. So that move towards sustainable and ethical consumption could be, unfortunately, out of necessity, which is scary, right? But that's the vibe. And so number five, environmental awareness and activism. Taurus has these close ties to the earth, to Mother Earth, to reveling in how much we love Mother Earth. And so with Uranus here, we might just become more aware of environmental issues. And so that could be because of environmental disasters, as I was saying, but it will result probably in people pushing for environmental activism, finding innovative solutions to address things that have been problems, as climate change, ecological challenges that have been problems. But that's, like I said at the very opening of the episode, new solutions to old problems. And so the sixth overall energy is disruptions in the stock market and economy. So Taurus also governs the economy, financial markets. Uranus can bring fluctuations, disruptions, right? So there might be sudden changes in those things. And I'm not an economist by any means, so that's all I'll say about that. But just be on the lookout for volatility and uncertainty, because that is part of the vibe and part of what we've seen historically too. So it's a good time for this whole Uranus and Taurus time, but especially like right now, we're in this heightened Taurus season. This is the vibe. It's a good time for taking a good hard look at how you manage finances and maybe creating a personal revolution in terms of your money in, money out, finances, spending. You might also, it's a good time for planting your own victory garden. In what ways can you like bring food growth, bring connection to the earth closer to home? Even if you live in an apartment or condo or something, can you get one of those little, I don't know, garden towers that you can put in your apartment? Or can you plant a little garden at home? Can you, I just find that it like, it really ups appreciation of food and what it takes to get food when you've had the experience of growing it yourself. So then also, it's a good time for considering your values and if you're living in alignment with them, because there is nothing more fatiguing than constantly being in conflict with your values. And hopefully the journal prompts I have for you will help with that. It's a bad time for buying high and selling low in terms of stock or real estate. So if you have the means, this is the unfortunate part, is like most working class folks don't have the means. But if you have the means to buy low and sell high in terms of stocks and real estate, that's great. But again, that's not financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not an economist. I am just a yoga teacher. but I do pay a lot of attention. So anyway, it's also a bad time for consumerism. Can you try to become more sustainable in your consumption of goods and food? So yoga practices for this time. This is a hard one. Hard to come up with like what yoga practices should you be doing for the next 7 years, right? Without fail. So the yoga practices piece is, I feel, more impactful on the shorter term things, but Taurus is the face. So can you do some face yoga? Can you? And so the deal with face yoga is, we might not realize how much tension we're carrying in our face. And you have a bunch of muscles in your head. You have muscles in your scalp. Did you know that? And they can carry tension. And so that's the kind of thing with like, we can stretch a muscle and that might relieve some tension. We can massage a muscle. We can get a massage and that might release some tension. But ultimately, what's going to release tension beyond stretching and massage and trying to mechanically or forcibly release the tension, what's going to release tension is nervous system regulation. And so that's kind of the vibe with face yoga is, yes, it is like massaging the face for purposes of beauty, which is very, you know, Venus ruled Taurus beauty. It matters, right? Aesthetically pleasing to have a nice taut face, and massaging it does help, as well as hydration. That's what I always like to tell folks is the best skincare is being really well hydrated. Like, what's your skincare routine? It's drinking a lot of water and not washing my face with harsh chemicals. So, that will do more for your wrinkles than a lot of things, is just being really well hydrated. But it's not just about wrinkles, right? It's also about, can you, so that's part of it, because Taurus, beauty, Venus, right? That's part of it. And it's okay to want to be beautiful. That's fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But it's also like when you really notice how much tension you actually might be carrying in your face, like do you go around with like a furrowed brow? I catch myself sometimes with like a, like I'll be thinking really hard. One time my 4-year-old recently was like, he was like, "Mom, why do you have a mad face?" You know, I was like, oh, I was like driving and thinking really hard, right? And so that kind of thing, can you notice that more often, that you're, where you're carrying tension in your face? And so the face yoga helps because you get to really notice what it feels like to have a relaxed face. So it becomes easier to notice when you don't. Right. And then I will also say another good yoga practice is the values exercise that I mentioned in the Jupiter and Taurus episode. I'm not going to repeat it. It was there. And so here are your journal prompts. There are There's a lot, and they will be in the sign by sign. There's three sets, one related to getting in touch with your values, different from the values exercise, one section related to finances and spending, and one section related to food and agriculture, because just to remind you, those are the big themes of this Uranus and Taurus transit. So one, under the values section, do my values reflect those that I was raised with, or have they shifted over life? So it's okay, like I ended up finding out that I do align with a lot of the values of my family that I was raised with. It's normal in your teens and early 20s to go through a period of rebelling against that, but you might find that all in all, a lot of your values do align with what you were raised with. And there might be some ways that they align and some ways that they don't. So I'm not putting a value judgment on having different values or on having the same values. You just need to know what are your values, and this next question should help with that. Number two, have I been unconsciously acting in alignment with the values I was raised with, even if my own values differ? So you need to consider what your values are and if they come from your family or if they come from rebelling against your family. What are your true values, and how did your early family life influence that? Because that's one thing I didn't kind of touch on, but another big theme of Taurus is early family life and how it influences our diet, our spending, our values, right? What we value in life, and what we consume in terms of material possessions or food. And so the second part of question number two is, how can I reconcile my actions or habits with my personal values? So that's what I was saying earlier. There's nothing more fatiguing than living out of alignment with your values. And so if you just really know what your values are and really know what behaviors align with a person with those values, your life is going to get easier, even if nothing circumstantially changes. It's less fatiguing to know that you're acting in alignment with your values. And so section number two, finances and spending. How do my values show up with my spending habits? And what personal steps can I take towards financial revolution or financial independence? Question number two, under the finances and spending, what material possessions do I truly value, and which ones could I let go of? How can I move towards more sustainable and ethical consumption? And so I'm just going to say a little piece about that because minimalism, I think, is a very, can be very consumeristic. If you're like, I just get rid of everything because I can just buy a new one easily, I think that's, you got to explore your own values around that. And so I'm just bringing up my own values is like, I might have what some people consider clutter, right? And it's a delicate balance between minimalism and not just hoarding a bunch of stuff, or minimalism that's more for aesthetic purposes and you get rid of stuff and it ends up making you more consumeristic, right? Because you have to buy new because you don't keep something that you use like once every 5 years or so. Well, you know what I mean? And so that's the balance that I want you to consider with that journal prompt, is like your relationship to minimalism, to hoarding, to, is your minimalism more consumeristic in nature? Like what's your balance of consumption and getting rid of things? What's your balance? What's your own personal balance, and how does that align with your values? So number three, if there were disruptions in the economy and stock market, how could I ensure my financial stability? And then related to that is, what does security and stability look like for me, and how can I achieve it or move towards it on a consistent basis? Like, what does stability look like for you? How can you cultivate that in your life on a regular basis? And then section number three, food and agriculture. One, how do my values influence my behaviors around food? So you could consider your early family life and how your family acted or what they said around food, your food stories that comes from them. And what are your personal values around food? Like, I was going to give an example, but I won't. And number two, how can I contribute to environmental awareness and activism in my local community? In what simple ways can I eat closer to the earth? So that's what I mean by, like, can you have your own victory garden? Can you, like, this is This is going to show my values again, but I want you to consider your own values and where they come from, right? But in my own personal values, I think if you want cheese, eating cheese from the farmer's market, for me, is more aligned with my values than eating ultra-processed vegan cheese or whatever that is, like, packaged in plastic, shipped from God knows where, right? Like, what even is it? To me, it's more aligned with my values to just eat, like, a local cheese or a local meat than to, like, you know, what I would prioritize in my own values is to eat more vegetables that I grew myself or that came from the local farmer's market and make that the majority of my diet. But in my own values, it's better to eat a local meat than eat some processed food product that is like vegan sausage or something or vegan cheese. I'm like, if I want sausage, I'm going to eat sausage, but I'm also going to try to be more plant-based with my diet. Those are my values. And so I want you to consider, have you been acting at, what are your values around consumption, around, like, if you are vegan, I know many people who are very into yoga and things are, but I'm like, is it actually less harmful to ship in these, like, processed food products than it is to eat a local, less processed thing? So consider that. That's the question, is like, what are your values? And then related to that, the next follow-up question is, what changes can I make to my diet or lifestyle to support sustainable agriculture and food production? Because I personally, like, this is just my values. I'm like, eating these like blood avocados from South America that have to be shipped and trucked across, you know, half the globe, is that really that much less harmful than eating something local? That's a consideration. That's a question for you to consider during this time. That's what this Uranus and Taurus time is all about, is considering on a personal scale and on a global scale what your values are and how your actions are aligning with that. So just to recap, new solutions to old problems. So best of luck to you, and I hope to see you in one of our full moon in Scorpio practices next week. yogiscopes.com/classes is how you'll sign up for a live virtual class with me. So please remember to keep your feet on the ground, your head in the stars, and stay in the light. Until next time, friends, take good care of yourselves.